and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of dispensations, we're now in dispensation number 3, and that is of human government. And we've been talking about how that man is to be in submission to God, and as he is in submission to God, he will give into, or he would submit to, the authority of human government. We read about that in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6 about capital punishment as to a man or someone who sheds a person's blood, anyone who gets killed or murdered, that person is to be put to death. The murderer is to be put to death according to God's law. This carries on, of course, into the New Testament. And when we think of this, we see people who are against capital punishment, where they're going against what God has set down in His Word, that when somebody does something wrong, they are to pay the consequences for that, and especially if they kill someone, if they murder someone. And you know, it comes to mind how that many people are shedding the blood of innocent babies today in abortion. This is murder. The word abortion should be changed to murder. They're murdering innocent babies, and they're killing babies. These people who are murderers, according to God's word, they need to be put on trial, and if found guilty, they need to be put to death. You say, well, that's pretty harsh. Well, take it up with God, because that's what God's word teaches, that if a person is a murderer, then and they're found guilty of that, if they're guilty of that, then they are to be put to death. Let me read the verse again to you, Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, that's a human being's blood, whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And that doesn't mean that people are to take the law into their own hands. That's what government is for. That's what the law is for, is to give out the punishment or to take care of anything or anyone that does wrong. And we're seeing problems today, even in our law enforcement. Many law enforcements have their hands tied today by corrupt government. And we need to pray for our government of the United States, and we need to pray for the law enforcement of our country. We need to pray for each one who represents God as a minister, according to Romans 13. They are ministers of God, and we need to pray for them and uphold them in prayer. And stand behind those who are doing what God wants them to do as the ministers. You say, who are the ministers? These would be police officers. These would be those who uphold the law of God. They're doing right. Well, note in Romans 13 and verse 4, it says there, let me read that verse. Romans 13, 4 says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's speaking of a police officer. Now, in that verse, Romans 13, 4, it supports the concept of using the sword by the government when necessary. This would confirm the principle, once again, of justified capital punishment. And it was first established in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, as well as the concept of warfare when justified. There are conscientious objectors that, and I suppose they're still called that, people who are against going to war for their country, against going to war to actually protect our people in this country. There are still people who are against that. Well, they're going against God's concept of standing up for what's right and protecting the people around who are members of our country. It's just like capital punishment. God has ordained that. Well, we are studying the dispensation of human government, but let me remind you, now we're going to see the end of the dispensation of human government when we get to the Tower of Babel. But at the same time, human government has not ended. Human government is still around, but the dispensation ended at the Tower of Babel. Well, notice with me, if you would, man's sin in the dispensation of human government. Noah became drunk and shamefully exposed himself according to the Bible. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 and 21 says, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent." Now, once again, the Bible teaches against drinking fermented juice or fermented wine, anything intoxicating. The book of Proverbs talks about that you're not to even look upon the wine when it moveth aright. That means when it is fermented. Fermentation is a representation of sin, and therefore we're not to partake of that. We're to stay away from it. Well, that's a study in itself. Well, notice the word uncovered there in the verses we just read, Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. It says in the last part, it says, "And he was uncovered within his tent." That's Noah. This is shamelessly, disgracefully, in other words, nakedness. It's a disgrace of what happened there in the tent. And this proves that Noah was an ordinary man who made a mistake. People do make mistakes, and we look to Noah and we see a man of God who listened to God, and he built the ark that God had told him to build, but yet he made a mistake when he got off that ark. He planted the vineyard and he got drunk. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 7, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." This is when the Sadducees brought the woman taken in adultery. And I believe that when Jesus stooped down to write on the ground, do you remember that? You go back and read John chapter 8. These Sadducees brought this woman and they said, "What are you going to do about this?" And Jesus stooped to the ground. He started writing. And then he said, "Any one of you who are without sin, let him cast the first stone." And then Jesus wrote some more. Some people believe, and I don't know exactly what Jesus wrote on the ground. Some people believe that he was actually writing the names of some of these men who had brought this woman before Jesus. I personally believe he was writing the Ten Commandments. He was showing these men, these Sadducees who brought this woman to Jesus, that they were sinners, that they had broken God's law somewhere along the line, and therefore they were at fault. And just as this woman needed to be stoned, so should they, because they had sinned, and they had sin in their lives. So the Bible says they turned and left. They wouldn't cast a stone at her because they were guilty of sin. And the Bible teaches this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, according to the Bible. And the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death. And that word death means separation. Now, this body dies, that means that it's separated from something. And in actuality, it's the soul that is separated from the body. The body dies and the soul is separated. But if you're saved and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the soul's never going to die. You're going to be with Him. You're going to be with the Lord because you have eternal life. You've received eternal life by trusting Jesus Christ. And you will have a new body. Well, just like the saved person receives a new body, I believe the unsaved person who dies without Jesus Christ, I believe they're going to receive a new body as well. But what we're looking at, when we look at the person who's unsaved, they're already walking in death. They're separated from God right now. And if they die, they're going to be eternally separated. Never another opportunity to be saved, to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Eternally separated from God. That's death. And the people who refuse Jesus in this life, they're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire, separated forever from God. And let me remind you, if you stand at the white throne judgment, that's not an opportunity to be saved. That's when Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." That means that person who is there has never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's a shame. It's not only a shame that you brought to Jesus Christ by not accepting Him, but it's a shame that a person has to go to the lake of fire. because they send themselves there. Well, notice if you would now that Jesus said in John 8:7, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her." Sometimes we look at Noah and we want to cast a stone at him, but look at yourself. Possibly you've made a mistake in your life, and if you're a human being, which I know you are, if you're listening to this, you have made mistakes in your life. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so we couldn't cast a stone at her as such. But once again, if she had broken the law, of capital punishment should come in there. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm speaking about if she had shed man's blood, her blood should have been shed, but she didn't do that. And the law would have taken care of that. As we think of this, there's some people today who have, let's use the term messed up. They have done something wrong, and they become an outcast. The old saying is that the Baptists are the ones who shoot their wounded. And what I mean by that is this: when someone does something wrong, we have a tendency to shun them, to turn our backs on them. But the Bible says, if there be one overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In other words, we're to uphold that person who has made a mistake, who has done something wrong in our sight and in God's sight. We are to pray for that individual, and we're not to shun that individual, but we're to help that individual know that Jesus not only saved them, they have eternal life, but they can still be used of God by saying, "Oh God, forgive me for the sin that I've committed, that my fellowship would be restored with you." That's what is broken when a saved person sins. It's the fellowship between that person and God. And we need to help that person get that fellowship back by saying, "God has not turned his back on you. You turned your back on God, and now you need to face him, and you need to admit that you've done wrong, and you need to ask God's forgiveness, not to be saved again, but because you are saved, you can have that fellowship restored, and you can be used of God. You can tell other individuals how to be saved and be on their way to heaven." And that's a trick of the devil when the people of God turn their backs on someone who's made a mistake, who is a child of God. They've made a mistake. They've done something wrong. But that's a trick of the devil. If we turn our backs on that person, we need to help restore that person to a place in their lives where they can be serving God. Well, Noah made a mistake. He got drunk. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Noah made an unwise decision to get drunk. Proverbs 23:20. Maybe he didn't make a decision to get drunk. Maybe it just happened. Maybe he kept drinking, didn't realize until he got drunk. I don't know. But he got drunk. Proverbs 23:20 says, "Be not among wine bibbers," that means a drunk, "among riotous eaters of flesh," that means gluttons. And there is a clear warning against drinking wine or other intoxicating drinks. It also prohibits gluttony. And that verse says riotous eating, that's eaters of flesh, and revelry. Well, revelry is noisy celebrating, lively entertainment or celebration. Usually it involves eating, drinking, dancing, and noise. Riotous is unrestrained, loud, conspicuous, and unrestrained. Well, may God help each of us to serve God and live as close to him as we can and serve Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And I pray for that person today who has strayed from you, that saved person. May you help that person understand that they can be restored today to fellowship with you by confessing sin, saying, "Oh God, forgive me. I've done wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.